Philip listening in Chicago. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Brian. It's funny with Medved and O'Reilly going through all this history about, you know, everything with American history. But when you look at blacks, I think the first person to die in the Revolutionary War was a black man.
Yeah,
so
Atticus.
In every war since, blacks have been fighting and dying in wars, and so we tried Reconstruction, we tried integration, and still today we still have to fight just to be recognized. If we say we're being shot down, we're being mistreated, we're being discriminated against, we're still facing racism.
Well, is that Philip? Can I stop you one thing? Great points. You're an excellent caller. I'm so glad you've listened for the whole hour, by the way, because a lot of times people will listen for a little bit and then leave, and then I have to put things in context. But when you talk in absolutes, now if Brian and Philip, I'll be Brian, you be Philip, are going for the same job, and if you feel as though I have an edge on you in that job because the color of my skin, I think that's describing what many people say is a problem in our society. I'm not saying it's true or false. But if you say I can't even get the interview because Philip is not white, then you're talking about a different era in this country. And some people listening saying, yeah, there was institutions built around making it harder for women and minorities to be successful in this country. And we got rid of them. And then we put in equal opportunity mandates. And things started bouncing out maybe the other way. So we can't tell everyone to do everything and have this politically correct world. But would you say, Philip, that it's incorrect to think if you are a person, regardless of your skin, color, creed, and religion, are you saying it's impossible for certain people to be successful in our country, or are you just saying it's harder?
I don't even know why we have to change the conversation. I'm just saying I think it's impossible for black people to be treated equally in America.
By who? By who, Philip? I'm treating you equally. That's too broad.
No, I mean, come on, it's a phone call. But when you get stopped by the police, when they don't police in the same rate or the same capacity that they do in black neighborhoods that they do in white neighborhoods.
Philip,
they don't make the same amount of stops in white neighborhoods.
I last spent Friday with 230, 250 cops, some FBI agents, some DEA. If they're listening right now, they're saying, wait a second, I have no problem. I don't stop people on the color of their skin. I look in a situation, I look in an area, and I'm looking for a suspect. I don't do that. Now, is there a certain percentage that do? Maybe. But when you say it's harder for a black person or this, not to me. People I'm with, that I hang out with, we don't see skin color. I don't walk around thinking I'm better than anybody else because I'm Irish and Italian. And most of my listeners feel the same way, and we are extremely frustrated that you think that.
You don't see my heritage. You don't see my background.
I'm interested, but I don't think I'm better than you.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying if you say I don't see skin color, that means you don't really see me as who I am. You want to see me as some
Oh, that's a good point. I'll take that point. That was too broad.
So,
yeah, I hear you. But I don't think I'm better than you, Philip. I don't think I'm better than you.
Nobody's saying that. Because we always have good conversations. It's never, you know, a whole lot of acrimony. But I'm just saying that for all these years that we've been here in this country, even though, I mean, just real quick, the thing where we talk about Jefferson and all them old.
Yep.
What comes along with that, when they enslaved people, came rape, came murder, came all these other crimes. But when we hear conversation, it's like slaves and da-da-da-da-da-da. But a lot of this stuff is swept under the rug or is whitewashed, to not have another phrase. But I'm just saying, why do we still have to fight for recognition, for justice?
Right. I hope you don't feel like that, because I mean, I don't know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be me. But just know that most of the people listening right now don't judge you by the color of your skin. We acknowledge it. You might have a different background. I mean, as my example that I bring up all the time is, as a soccer player in the 70s, I almost had no Americans. On my college team, I was one of three Americans. I would look up and see my kid from Somalia come in, and I think to myself, he's more likely a forward. I have a guy from Israel who served in the military. I think he's going to be a hard-as-nails player. And then I look in the back, and I have a Greek who I know, for the most part, is going to play with tremendous passion. We're most likely going to get a yellow card. Am I stereotyping? No. I think that I say it typical, but I'm not judging them. I'm noticing. But I accept them all. We became a team.
It's insulting when O'Reilly come on and say that Kaepernick is ignorant. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Black players, he's just a blanket statement. Black papers, they don't know nothing. They're ignorant. And where is he getting that from?
Well, I think he was talking about Kaepernick. You know, Kaepernick is not Jackie Robinson.
Black players. No, he said the black players today, they're not educated. They don't know the, you know, so, I mean, that's the same thing LeBron James
said. But Philip, I'm going to play LeBron James for you in a second. But, Philip, he was saying that the players that kneel, when they look at the flag, because they don't view America as the America that they want, don't understand the perspective on what got us where we are in 2017. And if they saw the whole picture, they wouldn't do it. That's his point.
What if they kneeled with a picture of Tamir Rice in front of them? They want to honor Tamir Rice.
Excellent. Just don't do it during the national anthem, Philip. My biggest complaint, it took you. Just don't do it in the national anthem.
Why not?
Because it is a time that we're all... If you want to get your message out about Tamir Rice, don't do it at a time when it's going to be overwhelmed by a feeling of patriotism and salute to the country. If you are LeBron James, and LeBron James, I'm going to tell you right now, there's not one person in media, sports or not, that wouldn't sit down with LeBron James if they knew he was available. At which time, he talks about the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they had Dwayne Wade last night, and then he says, and by the way, at this point in my life, my goal is to get other people in the African-American community having the same success I have or the same opportunities without the athletic ability. And that's why I think it's important to bring in fill-in-the-blank, Tamir Rice or whatever you want, Trayvon Martin. Then people say, well, what are you talking about? Okay, boom. And then you combine with the power and media and charisma to get your point across. But you're making people decide between patriotism and perceived racial injustice. And that's the problem, Philip. You've overwhelmed the message at the wrong time. Colin Kaepernick is not Muhammad Ali.
Right,
he is not Muhammad Ali, and he's not Jackie Robinson. He winged it.
Why isn't he? If he's raising the consciousness of what's going on with black people in America, like Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali, why isn't he not held up to the same level? He's in the black community, is. But now, why not in the white? Because Muhammad Ali was ridiculed. Jackie was called a Negro from. He was playing baseball. He was spiked.
He was from the Negro leagues, and it's.
No, when he came up to the American. When he
oh,
came
absolutely,
up to the,
but before
league.
Jack, before Jesse Jackson, I believe everything was Negro. Before he changed it, said black is the better term. So, but he came in at a horrible time. That guy broke the color barrier. Unbelievable. Muhammad Ali said, I will not join this war, even though I could probably have a ceremonial position like Joe Louis. And they took his title away. That is not a backup quarterback sitting down during the national anthem who wasn't even going to bring it forward unless he was questioned by an enterprising reporter. They don't belong in the same sentence.
See, now he's a backup quarterback. That's a Super Bowl quarterback. Why do you all have to always minimize accomplishments? This was a Super Bowl quarterback, not a backup quarterback. Come on, Brian. Come on.
He lost the position to Gabbard.
But I'm just saying,
at the one of the worst teams in the league. He is a shell of what he was, even though he's in the prime of his career.
Oh wow. Okay.
But I'm just saying, Jackie Robinson, the top three players in the Negro leagues. He's an elite player. Maybe they say Josh Gibson was better and he should have won first. I agree, judging by the stats. All right. But he goes in because he's got this great demeanor, and they feel as though he can do it. He goes in. So I look at Jackie Robinson as elite. Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of his generation, maybe ever. I say elite. When he's a heavyweight champion who looks unbeatable and decides I'll give up everything not to fight in a war, I can't put those two in Kaepernick's. I can't put Kaepernick in their class. Can you, Philip?
Okay. Again, from a black perspective, yes, because he's fighting for the masses of black people. And even with that, why was there even a Negro League? Why would that
terrible.
Even be necessary?
Terrible. You're right. Terrible. Horrible. I can't. So, I mean, it's embarrassing.
It's 2017, right? So why do black people still have to fight so hard just for justice? We're not asking for a whole lot. We're not asking for handouts.
Philip, I got to get to the other calls, but when's the last time you, Philip in Chicago, felt injustice? Seriously, just be honest. Last time you felt like you were judged by the color of your skin?
I was judged by I deliver cars, and every time I walk into a dealership, sometimes I walk into the dealership and they look at me as if I can't buy a car, but I'm delivering their product, right? And I walk through this whole dealership without anybody looking at me. I'm like invisible, walking through this dealership, walk through the service, and then I have to go to the general manager and say, hey, man, I don't walk through your whole shop, and nobody says, may I help you?
Okay, that would bother me. But, you know, Philip, tell me if you buy this analogy. I remember when I was an intern trying to work at News 12, which is like the local cable outfit, the lowest of low. I could not even get my pass to work and get in. I was 45 minutes late. I remember walking in there. I was totally invisible. And I said to myself, at one point, I'm going to reverse this. I'm going to be bigger than they are, and they're going to show me respect. I used it as a motivation, and I got lucky enough to make that happen. Now, I'm not mad at them anymore, but I felt the disrespect because I was 21 years old, and I hadn't accomplished anything. Now, Philip, you feel the disrespect. You feel it because of your background. For me, in my mind, if I'm Philip in Chicago, I will show you. If that's it, if my goal is, I'm going to own a dealership like this someday, and I'm going to make sure people are treated equally, and that guy who drops off cars is going to be treated in a first-class manner. And then the next generation, your next generation, has additional pride, and you say, don't make excuses. If life is unequal, I want to make it, just overcome it. Whatever it takes, overcome it. Because there's more people like me out there who do not judge you by your background or the color of your skin.
And I believe you. I want to leave you with this. I believe you. I don't think that all white people, I do not. I mean, somebody would have to call me the N-word or do something racist towards me for me to say, because it would make me crazy to run around every white person I run into, oh, there's a racist. I don't believe that. So I'm just going to say this. No, not all white people are racist, but again, a lot of it is caused by white people and their attitudes, their behaviors, their practices, and their institutions, which has built America. I mean, it's just been racism is caused by a lot of those things.
I just want you to be as prideful as in America as I am, and know, okay. Maybe you have three generations back, like Burgess Owens, the former Oakland Raider and New York Jet. Three or four generations back were slaves. So he's overcome this to the point where this guy's a successful businessman, NFL player, and so are the other generations. They went from last to first. If I'm in second, I come to first, I'll high-five you. If I go from last to first, I make history. Make history.
Thank you, Brian.
Go get him, Philip.